From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
It is a numbers game. Good Monday morning to you, Gil Alexander and my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews. It's guessing lines for week three in the National Football League. Jeff Parlay, producer number eight here as well. Glad you could join us. If you're new to Monday mornings here during the fall, it's all about guessing lines. It's a tribute to the old Stardust show where we take a stab at what the lines ought to be. I've been in a cocoon since yesterday. And then, Chrissy, you tell us what they will be here after the show.
Exactly. As soon as the show's over,
yeah,
we'll post them and you can come in and bet them.
Let's start with the question that I always ask. The one question that I'll ask of you at the top of every show, you did well yesterday as a book?
Oh, we did okay. Not great. We did okay. If we go back through the weekend, Thursday was great.
Mm-hmm.
Your Washington football team was good. Although I wish I'd have missed that last field goal. But nonetheless, Thursday was great. Friday was nothing pretty much. Saturday was good. Again, not great, but good. And yesterday, good, not great.
And if Kansas City wins but doesn't cover, much better.
I think it would have been much better, yes.
Yeah. All right, so many themes to get to, because there's so many games to get to that we don't even have time for much small talk. But just a random thought. No one misses field goals in the National Football League. Referees still not in regular season form. This extends back to Thursday night with a J.D. McKissic play. We'll do this one by one when we get to them game by game, because we'll look back on every game yesterday. Coaching Michigas. We'll talk about that because there's a lot of strange coaching non-decisions that were made that you just shake your head. You're like, what am I watching? And then from a betting standpoint, I want to say the quirkiest thing from this past weekend was that one of the things we do on Primetime Action is Friday night, we pride ourselves because we get into all the final injury reports going into the weekend. And it's also a contest, like wait until the very end. You don't know about COVID. You don't know about injuries. Got to wait before Saturday. So if to me this week, the biggest betting thing that happened pre-flop was that if you waited for the final injury reports, it almost screwed you more than helped you. Because the teams that were decimated, the Ravens, Colts, Vikings, Niners, they all ended up covering.
Sure.
Every one of them that had the worst of the injury reports ended up covering. So if you made your picks on Friday, Friday morning or Thursday, you were almost better off.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned those games. I think we won every one of those games pretty much because it went against the steam came in on based a lot on the injury reports. You know, so those were it's a crazy league.
It
really is.
It is.
And I wore my NFL shirt. Can you see it?
Yeah, you're protecting the shield today.
I got my NFL shirt today, so because I can't think of one team. I didn't want to wear my Steelers shirt. But so NFL, in honor of them.
I was on Jacksonville radio this morning. I was like, okay, how hard should I go in on Trevor Lawrence? They never gave me a chance, by the way. They just want a different question. All right, let's get into it, Chrissy, because we don't have time.
Yeah.
Thursday night, Jeffrey Parlay, everybody.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
It's always fun to talk NFL football on a Monday, regardless of how it may have went yesterday.
That's right.
Let's start with Thursday night. Carolina 2-0. Houston Texans 1-1.
Carolina would have only 7 2-0 teams. After week two, there will be 7 2-0s, 7 0-2s, and 18 1-1s, to your point. Carolina wins. Darnold 26 of 38 for 305. Two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked twice. Christian McCaffrey always filling up a stat sheet. 24 of 72 on the ground with a touchdown, five catches, 65 yards. DJ Moore, eight catches, 79 yards in a touchdown. That, of course, in Carolina's victory yesterday over the Panthers, 26-7 as 3-point dogs. So Carolina taking on Houston. Now here's the thing with Houston. Tyrod Taylor leaving the game yesterday against the Browns, technically in the third quarter, though really it was his touchdown run in the second quarter where he pulled up lame. If you remember, he wasn't very jubilant when he scored to put the Texans up over the Browns 14-7. Well, he had pulled a hammy. He was 10 of 11 to that point for 125 yards, touchdown, no picks, no sacks. The Browns tied it up at 14-14 subsequent to that, but he never came out for the second half in this game, and it was Davis Mills the rest of the way. Tyrod Taylor has already been ruled out for this game, this Thursday night game. He's already been ruled out. It appears to be Davis Mills, though. David Culley, when asked whether there was a chance that Deshaun Watson, who's on the Texans 53-man roster, but was inactive for Houston's first two games, would play on Thursday, Culley said, quote, "We'll have to see," unquote. Watson, of course, requested a trade in January, facing accusations of sexual assault and inappropriate behavior in 22 active civil lawsuits. Earlier this year, he said he had played his last snap for the Texans, immediately prompting those trade rumors to emerge. Mills was 8 of 18 for 105, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked once. Brandon Cooks, 9 for 78 and a touchdown, 9 penalties for 80 yards. And David Culley, one more thing about this game. David Culley, Houston, I have to point this out. Houston had, let's start with the coaching mishigas, everybody. Houston had a 3rd and 15 in this game. They get 14 yards to the 49-yard line. The Browns line up offsides. So his options at that point for David Culley are, all right, decline the penalty, you got 4th and 1, or take it, you got 3rd and 10. So he declines it, so it's 4th and 1. And then he punts. What is going on? What is happening? I have no idea what I'm watching. Anyway, with Davis Mills, the presumptive quarterback here, I would say Carolina -6.5.
Okay, who's playing bingo out there?
Here we go.
I like your number better. Okay, there's one. My power rating with Tyrod Taylor, you know, who I didn't know what he was going to do. By the way, I think he's a little better than what we assumed to be.
For sure.
You know, yeah. Came to exactly 7.5. Carolina 7.5. That's the number I see everywhere. Little juice back and forth, but 7.5 is the number. That's what my power ratings came to, like I said, with Taylor. Without him, I think you got to like the dog. Now, one more thing. I'm not a big trend guy. Matter of fact, I hate 99% of them. The one I do like, you go from a home dog to a road favorite. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Here we go.
And I like a lot of stuff about Carolina, their coaching staff. I like the way, you know, Darnold's proving that he probably was worth a number, a first-round draft choice. And now that he's gotten good coaching. So the number 7.5, that's what I'm going to open it, because I don't want to fool with it, because we do everything at 11 and 10. I'm going to keep my eyes on this one. If it starts dropping, I definitely will drop it. But, matter of fact, even while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to open it 7. What the hell?
There it is. I love you making decisions right here on the
fly. You got to make them sometimes. Yeah. So what can I tell you? You know, I've decided right now. But I think 7 really is a better number. And that's what I'm going to open. But look, of all the trends, keep that one in mind. You go from a home dog to a road favorite. It's usually an overinflated price.
If Tyrod Taylor stays in that game, by the way, Tyrod Taylor, has this amazing record of not coughing up the football, either by fumble or by interception. For a guy who has, talking about a minimum number of snaps, he's right up there in the top in the history of the league. If he stays in that game yesterday, they might just upset the Cleveland Browns.
They're right in it. Yeah. They're right in it. I'm watching this kid, and he gets zero credit. Probably a lot of guys would rate him the 32nd best starting quarterback. He's better than that. He's not bad.
For sure. And even going into the season, he was better than that. Like people have strange things with certain guys. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick elicits snickers. Really? Really? He's like one of your worst quarterbacks? I mean, it's so funny how people sort of pigeonhole guys. All right, so 7 is out there.
I'm going to open 7.
Okay.
You can find 7.5 pretty much everywhere in the world, but we're going to open 7 and take a bet.
You think Deshaun's going to actually show for this? I don't think so. I think Davis is.
I can't answer that one. I don't know.
David Culley, what are you doing? Analytics. What's the next one, Jeff? Sunday morning, first one.
Cardinals at Jaguars.
Okay, Arizona's one of the 2-0s. As they survive, a Greg Joseph missed 37-yard field goal to win, but they do not cover against Minnesota yesterday. They win it 34-33, failed to cover the 4-point spread. They're at Jacksonville. Okay, Arizona, Kyler Murray, 29 of 36 for 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, was sacked 3 times, but 5 carries for 31 yards and a touchdown. He's just sensational to watch. He's just so awesome. Even the fact that he made some mistakes, though, but Rondale Moore, 7 catches for 114 yards and a touchdown, including one great 18-yard pickup off a pass yesterday towards the end of the first half, which allowed Matt Prater to get in 62-yard field goal range, which he drilled, and that ends up being the difference of a win or loss in this game. 475 total yards for Arizona. They were -2 in turnovers in that game and still managed to win. Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, he may not be it, man. 14 of 33 for 118 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks, sacked once. 118 yards. Jacksonville only had 189 total yards. They were -2 in turnovers in their loss to Denver, in which they were out time of possession, if you will, 38-52 to 21-08. I said Arizona -10.5 on the road. My high?
You're high. I'm not going to say I like your number better, but I might. So it might be 2 for 2.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a blanket 7. I see 1.5 with big juice on the dog.
7.
My power ratings come to 9.5. Now, Urban Meyer, there's already rumors about him leaving. I hear a lot of, you don't know the scuttlebutt, but sounds like a lot of guys on Jacksonville are not very happy and content with Urban. He's still thinking he's a college coach. During the break, I'll tell you a guy who told me he would be a miserable failure in the NFL. I have no reason to doubt this guy, but I questioned it naturally. But then as the more I see, the more I think he's probably right. Anyway, it's 7.5 or 7. Once again, I'm going to open 7.5 and take a bet. I'm still not all in on the Cardinals. I've had my questions about Kyler Murray. I still think he looks like he's thrown out of a well sometimes, Don't like the coach. They really should have blown that game yesterday. They should have lost that game. The guy missed, a 27-yard field goal or something. But I really don't like Jacksonville at all. And I said last week on the show, are we that sure Trevor Lawrence is the guy? They're comparing him to Andrew Luck.
I said it all offseason.
There's no chance he's as good as Andrew Luck. No chance at all.
And, of course, they lose to Denver 23-13, but that was cosmetic.
It was cosmetic. They never had a chance to win that game.
Kickoff return for a touchdown made that score closer than it was. We'll come back more NFL Week 3 guessing lines with Chrissy on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Ace DiCardano guessing lines with Gil and Chrissy about to start. Must listen stuff every week. FYI, they were 2-2 when off opening market in agreement in Week 1. Mike Carignani, hope I'm pronouncing that correct, Mike. Urban Meyer lost 32 games in 17 years with 4 different college programs. If he sticks around for 2 years, he might lose that many games in the NFL. Welcome to the big time. And 64 Dragon. At Jeffrey_Clark. Gil, you nailed it with the injury report thing. I talked myself out of Raiders and Colts because of injury report stuff. If I just stuck with my original reads, I would have had a winning Week 2. I really think that's the biggest betting note of Week 2. The injury reports screwed you, which is the exact opposite of how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, I think it's an aberration myself.
I do too.
But it is a fact.
Yeah.
Though, but
last thing about Jacksonville from the previous segment. Do you think, how in last year in Survivor it was the Jets that were the pick-on team?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Jaguars this year, do you think?
I'm going to pass that information on to some people. Maybe.
I should keep my mouth shut.
By the way, Urban Meyer, I don't know if he's heading back to college, but listen, if he's going to ruin his reputation, he's a mercenary. We all know that. If he goes to USC or wherever, it's not going to hurt his reputation. We already know it about him.
Yeah, we do. Jeff, what's next? Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, it is the AFC South battle of Indianapolis at Tennessee.
Indianapolis at Tennessee. The Colts, and by the way, the other big theme of yesterday was quarterback bloodbath, yeah, which you talked about with Tyrod Taylor. Carson Wentz ends up leaving the game against the Rams yesterday really late. He didn't play their last two possessions with an ankle injury, which we're going to find out more about today. So that's the other thing. Got oft-injured quarterbacks injured once again. Rams won that, but the Colts covered, by the way, 27-24. But, you know, it could have been different for the Colts. First and goal at the one in the first quarter. Goal line stand by the Rams that ended with a sack. Second quarter, first and goal for the Colts at the 10. That ends in a pick on a third down shovel pass. By the way, Carson Wentz does too much of that. The flailing shovel pass.
Yeah.
It's like, stop with that. Wentz hurt late, as I mentioned, missed the last two possessions with the ankle injury. He ended up 20 of 31 for 245, one touchdown, one pick, three sacks. He's lost six straight starts, if you go back to previous Carson Wentz administrations. Easton in relief was 2 of 5 for 25. He threw the one pick, Jalen Ramsey. Pittman Jr. was there, Wentz's big target, 8 for 106. So the Colts are 0-2 after losing to Seattle and then the Rams. And then they have the Carson Wentz question. Tennessee, who they are traveling to play here, Tennessee with probably the most dramatic win of yesterday, with the exception of the Ravens last night, certainly the one daytime most dramatic win. Ryan Tannehill, 27 of 40 at Seattle, as the Titans beat the Seahawks 33-30, scoring the last 17 points of that ball game. Tannehill, 27 of 40 for 347, no touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times, 4 of 27 on the ground. Derrick Henry, it was the Derrick Henry show. He finished 35 for 182, 35 carries for 182 yards, three touchdowns. I should probably say that most of it happened after halftime. He was 22 for 147 in all three of those touchdowns in the second half and overtime. Oh, he also caught six passes for 55 yards. Julio Jones, nice game, six catches for 128. And a touchdown, by the way, that how was that not a touchdown? That was another one. How was that not a touchdown? I don't know what I'm watching. 31-16 advantage in first downs for the Titans, though that's a little cosmetic because the Seahawks had two huge touchdown plays. 532 total yards for the Titans. That's the most of any team thus far this year. 212 on the ground. And again, a time of possession advantage of 47-17 to 22-43, which is somewhat meaningless because of the two long Seattle touchdowns, but not entirely meaningless with that Henry. 47-17 to 22-43 with the overtime. As I mentioned, they scored the final 17 points, ending with a Bullock 36-yard field goal, game-winning field goal in overtime. That should have never happened because Russell Wilson, there was a safety that I don't understand.
How can they not call that a safety?
How many things I've already mentioned on the show where I don't understand what the refs are looking at?
We're only on game three.
Yeah. So anyway, Tennessee wins, and what a huge win for them, obviously. Indy at Tennessee, it's got to be more than three. I'll say Tennessee minus 3.5.
Well, that's what my numbers come to with a healthy Carson Wentz.
But we don't know.
I don't know. So right now I'm seeing mostly 4.5 and 5. A couple places don't have it up. I'm going to debate whether to put it up. I probably put it up 5. We're kind of in a dead zone there, 4.5, 5. We'll say this, though. I follow a couple guys from Indianapolis, sports writers. They really liked Eason. They liked him. And if you look at his career in college, he had kind of a checkered career, wound up, I think he started at Georgia, wound up at Washington. I think he was one of the top-rated quarterbacks coming out of high school. Like I said, things didn't quite work out for him. But these guys really liked him a lot. Matter of fact, one guy in particular was pounding the drum that he should beat out Carson Wentz.
Really?
Yeah. But he didn't play well yesterday. But, you know, it's,
well,
you know, I mean, I don't know what we take out of that. But, could this be a Wally Pipp situation? You know, I don't know. But I think that's worth watching. If Wentz doesn't play and a guy's 0 for his last 6,
mm-hmm.
I know another guy. Again, I don't want to say his name because he's like a nationally known guy. We follow each other on Twitter. He tweeted me last year. He said, this guy's terrible. He goes, I don't know what the Colts are doing signing him. He's terrible.
Talk about Wentz.
Yeah. Wentz, yeah. So, I mean, this could be a golden opportunity for Easton. But anyway, I'll probably put it up just because I do like him. But I think I'll probably use, I'm debating 4.5 and 5, probably 5.
Yeah, the Wentz thing was interesting because we didn't really see where the ankle injury was. he knew it was enough to keep him out of the game. He knew his body enough to know that it kept him out of his game. But he was on the sidelines chilling, watching.
Yeah. Well, I saw a replay of it this morning.
Oh,
it looks pretty bad.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
It looks like it should have been pretty bad. I mean, you know, I don't know how taped up he was or whatever.
I did miss the replay.
I saw it this morning. It looks like it could be pretty bad.
Yeah. Did they show it during the game yesterday? I don't think so.
I remember seeing it during the game, but I had a lot of stuff going on. I might have missed it.
Okay. What's next, Jeffrey?
One last thing there. It was not a good looking injury from the replay I saw. So
did you see it during the game or this morning?
I saw it on Twitter afterwards. Again, there's nine games going at once. You're going to miss some things across the board.
For sure.
How about the Baltimore Ravens on the road at the Detroit Lions here?
Did you happen to see that Baltimore win last night? Good God.
Did they play?
The game of the week, 36-35. The Ravens beat the Chiefs outright. Lamar Jackson, 18 of 26 for 239, one touchdown, two picks. He was sacked once. 16 carries for 107 and two touchdowns. It was basically like, Lamar, you do what you do. Go. Marquise Brown, six catches for 113 and a touchdown. The Ravens were 6 of 11 on third down, 1 of 1 on fourth down, the biggest single play of the game. We'll get to that. But 481 total yards, 251 on the ground for the Ravens. The Chiefs were up 35-24. Was 3rd and 12 at the KC 49 with 2:09 left in the third quarter. That was the high water mark of the Chiefs in this ballgame. Up 11, 2:09 left in the third quarter, ball at their own 49. And then Patrick Mahomes threw his first September pick ever.
Wow, that's right. I didn't realize that.
First September pick ever in his career. Remember, it was like 35 touchdowns, no picks going into this game. Tavon Young picks it off, which eventually led to a Baltimore touchdown to make it 35-30. But can we just say, if we're going to criticize Carson Wentz, that's about the worst pass and decision of Mahomes' career right there. That was terrible. After a KC punt, by the way, 14-play, 68-yard drive that took 8 minutes and 2 seconds off the clock in the fourth quarter, that put Baltimore up 36-35. And then on the final drive, 2nd and 3, not the final drive, final drive for Kansas City. 2nd and 3 at the Baltimore 32 with 1:26 left. Edwards-Helaire stripped by Odafe Owe. Owe recovers. And then the Ravens, 4 plays, 4th and 1 being the 4th at their own 43 with 1:05 left. John Harbaugh asks Lamar, do you want to go for it? What do you think Lamar is going to say? 2 yards, ball game. Baltimore wins. They're at Detroit, who hasn't played, but I would say it's got to be double digits. I'd take Baltimore minus 10.
I see no number on this game.
Yeah, because Detroit hasn't played.
Detroit hasn't played. Let's not forget, Ravens do have a lot of injury problems. Now, they jumped up last night and played a fantastic game. I'm kind of with you when Harbaugh asks Lamar, do you want to go? What's it? Lamar's going to say, no, better punt the ball. Punt, you know, I think that's strategically. I'm going through my analytics. That's not any guy.
You mentioned Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I've been running the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, my power ratings come to an 8.5 because, like I said, Ravens 8.5. So I think you might be a little bit high there. But, you know, we got to see something out of Detroit tonight. Still with a new coach. I mean, there's still a lot of moving parts there. I think 8.5 is probably a little better than 10 myself. But, let's see. And like I said, I do not – there's still a lot of problems with Baltimore. There really is. You know, they overcame them last night. You know, you and I have been doing this show for, 10 years. What have I said pretty much the whole way? Who's the second best coach in the NFL?
John
Harbaugh. Yeah. And, there's Exhibit A last night. He did a hell of a job to keep his team in a game against an opponent who he probably had no business beating.
No business. What a game it was. The frenetic pace of guessing lines continues. Next, Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha here from the South Point Hotel Casino. Parlay in the house as well, producer number 8. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I want to read this one. Bainbridge DeWeese, because I always think this is an interesting way of sort of autopsying a football game, because most people don't do this. But he says, if Harbaugh doesn't miss those 2 two-point conversions, and remember, they missed 2 consecutive 2-point conversions, then the Ravens are up 3. No way, or if he makes one of them, I guess they're up 3. No way Casey, well, no, because they wouldn't have tried the other, I guess. No way Casey runs and fumbles, and very little doubt Mahomes takes them down for a touchdown to win by 4 and cover. That is true. Like, that's a point that needs to be made. They play call differently, right? If they're down.
It's a different game at that point.
It's a different game at that point, and we never think about such things. Real quick, before we get into the games, we had this little exchange, the 3 of us, on the break, which is how many coaches make the call that Harbaugh made last night on 4th-and-1. So it needs to be stated that, one, not every coach has Lamar Jackson, right? That's key. But everybody would have had the data point of Patrick Mahomes being on the other side of the field. And so you would hope, just based on that alone, it would be more than just a couple others. On the other hand, I think about, you know, Mike Vrabel, we didn't mention this in the Tennessee game, Mike Vrabel decided not to go for two in regulation, and he has Derrick Henry right against Seattle. They could have won the game outright or lost if he doesn't get the two-point version, and he made the decision to push it overtime, ended up working out for him. Yeah. But I was surprised by that non-decision, or by that decision not to go for two. So maybe that lends to your answer, which you were leaning towards, Parlay, which is probably not many would have gone for it. They also don't have Lamar Jackson, but probably not many, because even in a Derrick Henry situation, it appears that some teams are skittish about those moments.
I have very much soured on Mike Vrabel over the last year plus.
Were you surprised as well that he didn't go?
It worked out, it was a complete wrong decision, especially with how Henry had just destroyed Seattle the whole second half.
All right, what's next?
Your Washington football team at the Buffalo Bills.
All right, I don't think we have to belabor this one too much, Chrissy. Washington won on Thursday, as we all know, 30-29. They beat the Giants on a Dustin Hopkins field goal from 43 after the Giants jumped off sides on a 48-yarder that missed. So Washington gets it done. They're 1-1. Buffalo's now 1-1. By the way, Taylor Heineke in that game, 34-46 for 336. Two touchdowns, a pick. He was sacked once. Terry McLaurin, what a player. What a draft pick. 11 catches, 107 yards and a touchdown. But Washington had 9 penalties for, No, that's incorrect. I had something else written down there. Okay, so Buffalo yesterday beats Miami 35-0. 35-0 as 3.5-point road favorites. I had Miami, full disclosure. Of course, I didn't know Tua would go down.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
Yeah. Less than 4 minutes in the game, or just over 4 minutes in the game. Would that have made a difference? Who knows? But Josh Allen yesterday in that win, 17 of 33 for 179, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked once, also 5 carries for 35, didn't really have to do much. Singletary, 13 for 82 and a touchdown. Buffalo acknowledging they do have running backs in this game. Diggs, 4 of 60 for touchdown, but the D was the story. 6 sacks for Buffalo's defense, 3 takeaways, and really just made Jacoby Brissett look unprepared. We'll get to the Dolphins later, but I actually think people are going to underrate Jacoby Brissett going into next week, because he wasn't with the first team reps. So anyway, Buffalo should be more than a touchdown favorite against Washington. I think 7.5 might be appropriate.
Yeah, my power ratings come to 8.5 with no adjustment for Tyler Heineke being the starter, because I think Fitzpatrick went on IR.
Yeah.
So he's going to be out 6-8 weeks, whatever. So anyway, game pretty much open 8.5. It's climbing up to 9. I think I like the 9 a little bit better. I think, Heineke, he's played well when he's had the opportunity. He's still a pretty untested quarterback. Going against this defense, I think going to be pretty tough. So my power ratings come to 8.5. I see mostly 9. We're kind of in a dead area right there. I'm definitely going to open 9, and I think I'm going to make an adjustment on my power ratings and knock Washington down probably 0.5 point. With Heineke instead of Fitzpatrick. But I think 9's a good number. That's what I'm going to open.
0.5 point between Fitzpatrick and Heineke, you think?
At this point, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your opinion could change on this.
Well, sure. The whole world's in a fluid situation,
yes.
Gil.
I'm going to imagine short term it could change. is what I'm getting at. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. So far, I like Arizona best. If Arizona's only a 7.5 point favorite at Jacksonville, I think that's far too low. What's next, Jeff?
New Orleans at New England.
Okay. This to me, what's great about this is we were talking about overreaction week one, and we were all talking about which teams we were overreacting to. I didn't hear a bunch of, I think we're overreacting to New Orleans. Like, Sean Payton is for real. Okay. Maybe that was the team we overreacted to the most. New Orleans loses to the Panthers, as we mentioned, 26-7. They do so as 3-point road favorites. Jameis Winston, who in the first game this season against Green Bay, remember when they crushed Green Bay, 38-3, had 5 touchdown passes but only 148 yards passing, which is the first time that's ever happened in the history of the NFL, that many touchdown passes, that few passing yards. Well, yesterday, Jameis Winston was Jameising. 11 for 22 for 111. No touchdown passes, 2 picks. He was sacked 4 times, did carry 3 of 18, and had the 1 touchdown on the ground rushing. But now Winston in both games, still doesn't have 300 yards passing.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yeah, he has a grand total of 259 yards passing in two games. We'll get to Russell Wilson's stats later. The Saints yesterday in that loss to the Panthers, the big bad Panthers, five first downs, the fewest that the Saints have had since 1997. They were 2 of 11 on third down and 0 for 2 on fourth down. Well, that's not good. They had 128 total yards of offense. 128, which is the fewest the New Orleans Saints have had since 2001. Oh, for good measure, 11 penalties for 115 yards. They were out time of possession 38-28 to 21-32, and they scored, as we mentioned yesterday, 7 points, their fewest since 2015. Their first seven drives for the Saints yesterday, 5 punts, 1 pick, 1 turnover on downs. Alvin Kamara, 8 rushes for 5 yards, his fewest since 2017. And curiously, Taysom Hill, 2 carries for 16. I remember complaining all last year and the year before, it's too much Taysom. Now I'm like, he's only 2 carries for 16 yards and you're not doing anything? What's happening? Sean Payton's Coach of the Year coronation tour has been exaggerated. And then there's New England yesterday who beat the Jets handily by the score of 25-6, covering his 6-point road favorites. Mac Jones, first half, 18 of 22 for 142. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. He finishes 22 of 30 for 186 with those no touchdowns, no picks, and 3 sacks. Damian Harris, 16 of 62 on the ground and a scintillating touchdown run where he broke 5 or 6 tackles. But the Patriots were 2 of 10 on third down. They only had 258 total yards themselves. They benefited from the turnovers. They were +4 in turnovers. Zach Wilson was a mess. We'll get to that. So it's New Orleans coming off that horrific performance against New England, which really wasn't challenged much. And the only thing I came up with was New England -3.
That's where my power ratings come to. I saw it open last night, kind of a soft 3, like 3 with juice on the dog, even a 2.5 with some juice on the favorite. My power ratings come to 3. And by the way, while we're on the subject here real quick, I've lowered just about every single home field advantage.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I have lowered every single home field advantage. So I'm only giving between 1.5, 2.5. I got a couple of 3s still out there. But nonetheless, this number comes to 3. That's what I'm going to open. I have no beef with that. But let's not go overboard on the Patriots. They beat a Jets team. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those games. The more I looked at it during the course of the week, I'm thinking Belichick is going to really rattle this kid. You know, it's just kind of right in his alley for doing exactly that. And he did. The kid looked terrible, as much as I've liked what I've seen out of Wilson so far. But it was a bad situation for him. But I think 3 is fine here. Well, very interesting about the Saints. Boy,
look at Sean Payton after week one.
I was one of those guys. Yeah. You know, you're looking at a guy that said exactly that. You know, now I'm not so sure.
What's with the Taysom Hill thing only getting 2 carries now?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
What are the couple teams with the 3-point home field advantage for you?
Denver and Green Bay.
Denver and Green Bay.
Yes.
Not even Seattle.
Not even. I said it last week. Just Seattle's good on the road.
They're
just good. Not like it's so easy to go into Seattle and walk out of there with a win, which Tennessee did.
Yeah.
But they're just good anywhere they play. It's, you know, that's you gotta look at the differential.
Yeah. And Denver has elevation and later weather. And Green Bay has weather later.
Green Bay has weather. And they've just been a better team at home. Yeah, they really have been.
Yeah. That Saints thing is fascinating to me because Jameis was doing Jameis things, like, again, the whirling dervish pick where he's going to the ground and he just chucks it up.
Yeah, throw it anywhere. Don't worry about it.
Every quarter, like, a lot of quarterbacks seem to think that they're, you know, invincible doing that stuff.
Yeah, and he's Carson Wentz
doing it. Mahomes thought he was invincible, too. It didn't work out yesterday for the first time, I think, ever. Certainly in the month of September, that's a fact. We'll come back. More early games to get to. Guessing lines. Week 3. Of the National Football League right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hey, do they do quarterly booby prizes over at Circa? I'm just curious. I'm asking for a friend.
I think they do, actually.
They don't do quarterly boobies, do they?
I think I have to double check it in the rules, but I thought they added that this year, that the worst record gets something.
Even quarterly?
I think so. I'm going to double check, though.
Add quarterly boobies to your bingo squares.
I didn't have that on. Oh, I got the free space. There you go.
Just asking for a friend. We get tweets, that beating the book. This is from Not That Anjay. I believe I'm saying that. Oh, no, not that. I don't know. I'm just saying. Whatever his name is. I'm sorry. We need you back on satellite coming over the San Mateo Bridge. No internet. Drives me crazy what I missed. Tell Chrissy I hope his health is well. There you go.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I am well. Thank you. Yeah. But there's no internet on the San Mateo Bridge.
Well, have you flown to San Francisco and flown over the San Mateo Bridge? Well, obviously you have if you've flown.
I've driven it many times.
It's the longest thing ever.
Oh, I know. You know what? I always noticed a couple times, you know, like, I think it says, like, no turn. You're on the same. No kidding. Yeah, where really? Was I going to turn?
No turn. That thing is the longest bridge you'll ever see. This is from Joe Nuns. Made me look and see if autopsying is a word. I believe it is. Technically.
Well, it is now.
I believe it is technically.
I think we're going to be in the Oxford Dictionary by next year.
Jeff, you have a Carson Wentz update.
Yes. According to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, Carson Wentz not only has one sprained ankle, it looks like he has two sprained ankles. So tests being conducted today to see the severity of both of those ankle injuries.
I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny, but somehow I'm laughing. We had a kid in like seventh grade. We did relay races. Remember relay races? And when we did them, the wall was too close to the end of the relay. And so this kid, Tim May, hit the wall too hard with both hands and he broke both of his wrists.
No,
that's what I think about with Carson Wentz. Oh, man. All right, what's next, Jeff? I don't mean to laugh. It's not funny.
Still in the we're still in the early window, by the way, guys, since there's a 9 in the early window this week. Let's good one, the AFC West. Chargers at Chiefs.
All right. Chargers at Chiefs, that is a good game. Both teams 1-1. Justin Herbert. Could he, you know, I was going to ask Lombardi last week, I had in my notes, is he a top 5 quarterback already? I think that's almost being conservative. 31 of 41 yesterday for 338, one touchdown, two picks. He was sacked twice. How Mario Cristobal couldn't do anything with him, and Anthony Lynn wasn't going to let him see the light of day last year, I have no idea. But it's just such a failure of coaching. Allen, Keenan that is, 4 for 108. Mike Williams, 7 for 91. 7 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown. Austin Eckler, 9 carries for 54, 9 catches for 61. Always filling up the stat sheet. The Chargers did have 12 penalties for 99 yards. 0 touchdowns for the Chargers on 3 second half red zone possessions. Field goal, pick, field goal. But let me just say this once again with our themes. Quarterback bloodbath. The injury report screwed you as a better. Refereeing Michigas. Second and goal at the Dallas 7 with 5:35 left. Micah Parsons, in air quotes here, sacks Justin Herbert for an 18-yard loss. In what world is that a sack? How quick was that whistle? You see that?
Oh, yeah. And they said, oh, he's in the grasp. Grasp?
What grasp?
No grasp. Who had a grasp? There is no grasp.
That was brutal. Chargers end up losing.
Of course, we needed the Chargers. You know.
No. Chargers end up losing to the Cowboys 20-17. The Cowboys did not play better than the Chargers in that game. But yet they win.
Now they got every call, I'll tell you that. Yeah. That seems... That's only been a theme for the last 40 years. Well, I've been watching football 50 years. It's been about that.
You've noticed.
I've noticed. The Cowboys tend to get a their share of the calls.
Kansas City. By the way, well, why the gratuitous shots of Jerry Jones? Do we do that for any other owner after a win?
God, yeah. Does anybody know what Bill Bidwell looks like?
Yeah, that's right.
He's been in my office, and I don't know if I could pick him out of a lineup.
How about Biscotti? Is that his name? I might be pronouncing it wrong. Yeah. In Baltimore?
I think it goes by Biscotti.
Biscotti. Biscotti we have for
coffee.
For coffee. With coffee. Yeah, no, Bichette, he always low-key, doesn't want to be seen. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes in defeat yesterday, 24 of 31 for 343, 3 touchdowns. That one brutal game-changing pick wasn't sacked. Travis Kelce, 7 for 109 and a scintillating touchdown, if I may use that word again, which Al Michaels called as if it was a preseason touchdown. What was that? Hey, Al, it's a pretty good play. 1 of 6 on third down were the Chiefs, and as I mentioned, when they were up 35-24, 3rd and 12 at their 49 with 2:09 left in the third quarter, Mahomes threw that awful pick, first September pick ever. Baltimore made it 35-30 after that. Baltimore long drive made it 36-35, and then the Edwards-Helaire stripping by Odafe Owe with 1:26 left, and then Baltimore converting the 4th and 1 at their own 43 with 1:05 left. Katy bar the door. Chiefs lose. Chiefs are at home? Yes. Chiefs by 4.5.
I'm not going to say I like your number better, but it's fairly close to mine. Mine comes to 5.5. I see 6.5 out there.
Ooh.
Even a 7 with some juice on the dog.
That defense can't stop anybody.
Yeah, I'm probably going to open 6.5 just because they tend to get a lot of play. If I see that drop, and I'm definitely going to drop. Like I said, I see it going up in a couple spots. I see 6.5 with juice on the favorite, 7 with juice on the dog. You know, but that to me, that number's too high. And you're talking about Justin Herbert. Okay, let's say you're starting an NFL franchise. First pick, probably Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Herbert, the second pick?
I think so, man.
Is he the second pick?
And think about, like, the fortunes of teams. If Tua, if Tua was available, they'd have picked him, right?
Yeah.
It's just amazing the fates of these
luck
franchises.
Of the draw. Yeah. Luck of the draw. But Herbert. Yeah, and by the way, another one in the grasp. Of course there's no grasp. The kid's 6'5".
Right.
And he's not a lumbering 6'5". He's an athletic 6'5". That was a horrible
call. Right. If that's Big Ben, you think they whistle that, please. All right. Let's do one more here.
You sure you want to do this next one here?
Oh no.
What is it? You sure? The Falcons at the Giants.
Oh. One team will be winless after this. Can't say guaranteed 0-3 because there could be a tie, I suppose. Atlanta loses badly in the end to the Buccaneers, though they made it interesting for a while. Matty Ice, 35-46 for 300, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. Emphasis on the picks. 1 sack because 2 of those 3 picks were consecutive pick sixes. Kyle Pitts, 5-73. Ridley, 7-63 and a touchdown. Cordarrelle Patterson, 7 of 11 for a touchdown, and then 5 catches for 58 and a touchdown. But the Falcons were -2 in turnovers. Those pick sixes looming large. They were outscored 20-0 in the fourth quarter. Is that good? 48-25 final score. Buccaneers cover the 13-point spread. And then the Giants, as we mentioned, Thursday night, lost to Washington. Daniel Jones' best game of his career, though. I think we established that. 22 of 32 for 249. 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked 4 times. 9 carries for 95 yards and a touchdown. Most importantly, no fumbles lost. Shepard was his big receiver, 9-94. Kenny Golladay didn't like that. And I think we can establish now that Golladay was screaming at Daniel Jones. I know a lot of people are saying he wasn't. He was. 11 penalties for 81 yards for the Joe Judge stickler for details Giants. I mean, this has to be Giants -3, right? There cannot be another number to this.
Yeah, even with my 2-point home field advantage, that's what I come with.
Yeah.
3. I mean, Atlanta just looks, my goodness, what happened to this team? They have just fallen off a cliff since their Super Bowl loss. And they looked horrible.
Do you think that they're, my brother, who is not as big of a football fan as, say, you and I are, but likes the NFL over everything, said yesterday to me, he goes, it's like they're still spooked by that Patriots comeback in the Super Bowl. Do you think there's any, for the remaining guys that are there, do you think there's any lingering thing to something like that? Obviously,
can't quantify. I don't know. I mean, yeah, how do you quantify that? Yeah. Ryan is there,
yeah.
And he maybe
most importantly.
He is. I mean, he is the guy, the quarterback, for some reason could be like kind of the fulcrum, more so than it should be.
Sure.
And maybe he is because that team has never recovered from that. Never.
Jeff, if I paid you no money, and I said, you must watch this football game. You're not allowed to have a bet on it. You're not allowed to do anything else. No phone. You must watch this game from beginning to end. You would say, no, but how much money would I have to pay you?
There would be other things that you'd probably could get me to MetLife, and I'd be all right. But
okay.
Curious. I mean, this is going to be a horrible football game all the way through. And it's a good point you bring up, Gil. The Falcons are probably still spooked all these years later. It's just they've never been able to recover from that collapse in the Super Bowl.
I just thought it was an interesting point by someone who's not as deep into the numbers as say we are.
Right, right.
Who knows, man?
Just observational, anecdotal.
Yeah.
It might be right.
Yeah. 28-3, famously, of course, the Falcons were up in that Super Bowl. Don't have to remind the Falcons fans. We'll come back. More Guessing Lines with Chrissy.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Yes, I am. Hour number 2 of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. Gil Alexander alongside Chris Andrews, the director of the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. Do we call you a director? Is that your official
title? That's my official title.
All right. We've been doing this show for a decade. It is a tribute to the old Stardust radio show. By the way, it's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. But we've been doing Guessing Lines for a decade, and hopefully it has become part of your routine as the first sort of interesting exercise of looking at the upcoming week's NFL lines. I would ask at this point for Jeffrey Parlay to give us another game here, but Jeff is really nursing all of a sudden a bloody nose. This has made him so emotional that his nose is
bleeding. We're good over here, Gil.
You want to just give us a game, Jeff, while you're there? We won't put the camera on.
We have the Bears at the Browns.
He's got the tissue up his nose.
He's the Carson Wentz of producers.
Are both nostrils bloody, Jeff? That's what we want to know. Bears at the Browns. Poor Carson Wentz. So the Bears, this is an interesting one. Because Cincinnati teaser legs, which was the only Stanford Wong teaser leg of the week, got there amazingly. Chicago ends up beating Cincinnati in this game, but only wins it by a field goal. Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Questionable this week.
Questionable, yeah. Andy Dalton hurt in the second quarter of the game against Cincinnati yesterday. 9 of 10 before he got hurt for 56 yards. 1 touchdown, 0 picks. He was sacked once. It's a knee injury, but a league source told Pro Football Talk that Dalton's injury not currently believed to be an ACL tear. The Bears will get more information on Dalton through an MRI. But I'm sure there's a lot of Bears fans. By the way, they won that game yesterday, 20-17, did cover the spread, and the Bengals do get the teaser leg from the back door. But I bet you I would imagine there's a lot of Bears fans who are like, I don't really care about your Andy Dalton injury report. Justin Fields came in. That's the reason they might not care. Justin Fields came in yesterday, 6 of 13 for 60 yards, no touchdowns, but the one pick that allowed Cincinnati to get into teaser shape there was sacked twice, 10 carries, 31 yards. The Bears only had 206 total yards, but they were plus 3 in turnovers, including a Roquan Smith pick 6. Joe Burrow looked off for most of that game. Cleveland yesterday, we talked about this when we talked about Houston earlier. They beat the Texans. Texans, again, if Tyrod Taylor had played that full game, who knows? Who knows if the Texans upset the Browns outright? Instead, the Browns win at 31-21, do not cover the 13.5-point spread. Baker Mayfield, though, was 19 of 21 for 213, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, sacked twice, 8 for 10 on the ground with a touchdown. Nick Chubb, 11 for 95 and a touchdown. I would imagine the Browns are more than a touchdown favorite, so I'll say 7.5 again.
That's pretty much the number I see, 7.5. I even see a 7.5 with a little bit of juice on the dog. But I see an 8, and my power ratings come to an 8. I think I like 8 a little bit better, and I think I'm going to open 8, see if they want to take it. A little bit of a dead number, but I think the number is going to move up from 7.5. If we open 7, I don't see it going to 7.
Speaking of which, I owe you a dollar.
Yeah, wait, what was our bet?
I owe you one United States dollar. I'm going to give you right here. Because I said, remember when the Chiefs, Baltimore.
Yeah.
There you go.
What'd you say?
There it is.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
I said that it would get to 5.5, and it did not.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Remember, it was 2.5, 5.5. Yeah. It got halfway there, but it didn't get there.
Yeah. Matter of fact, at the end of the day, it was probably mostly 3.5.
Yeah.
I mean, we closed 4, but, you know, we had a lot of early money on the favorite, but a lot of late money on the dog. I could have gone to 3.5 easily, but it was too late at that point. I didn't feel like doing it.
Back to this for a second. What do you do with Dalton versus Fields?
Nothing.
Nothing at all, right?
Or maybe raise the Bears.
You sort of lift your hand. You're like,
I think I'd probably be like most Bears fans. Yeah, let's give the kid a shot. You know, I mean, Dalton is, you know, lower third of the league, I would say, as far as a starting quarterback. Let's give Fields a shot. Why not? The kid has a lot of talent. I don't know if he's ready or not. I guess we'll find out. But I think he has a ton of talent.
I don't mean to downplay the Dalton injury because poor guy hurt his knee. We'll find out the extent later today. But I always believed that the Bears were going to start Justin Fields, not this week, but next week, week 4 against the Lions. So even if it is Fields, it's only happening, you know, a game and a half before it probably was going to happen anyway, I would imagine.
Yeah, I didn't adjust my power rating. Let's put it that way.
All right, let's do one more. Jeff, you okay?
We're good. We're good. That's look. When the weather gets cooler, this has happened in the past. Hasn't happened in Vegas before, but oh well. Chris Andrews Steelers hosting the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, I'm curious to hear what you have to say about this. Okay, so Cincinnati, we just mentioned. Cincinnati looked bad, but yet somehow got there. Again, that Justin Fields.
Well, depends.
Well, got there with a teaser. Like, didn't get there with the spread necessarily. That, right? That depended. Burrow ends up 19 of 30 for 207. Two touchdowns, three picks, sacked four times. His three interceptions. Try this at home, boys and girls. His three interceptions were on three consecutive passes in the fourth quarter. There was a fumble by T. Higgins on the drive before those three picks that led to a Chicago field goal. Then a Roquan Smith pick six of those Burrow picks. And then I think that was the first of the three. And then the third Burrow pick led to another field goal. It was 20-3 Bears. 20-3. And the Bengals were -3 in turnovers, as we mentioned. And that's really the story. But Burrow to Chase, Ja'Marr Chase, for another touchdown. He scored. Ja'Marr Chase did the first week one of the season as well. And then the subsequent Justin Fields pick and a play later, Burrow to Higgins, made it 20-17. And anybody who had the Bears, you're like, I can't believe this is difficult. But it did get home for most Bears bettors. And then there's your Steelers. The Steelers, who are 1-0 after beating the Bills, courtesy in large part of a block punt for a touchdown in that game against the Bills. I mean, they lose to the Steelers 26-17 in a game, by the way, where, look, Derek Carr might be out, but that's a whole other story. We'll get to the Raiders. But Mike Tomlin punts 4th-and-1 down 9 at his own 35 with 9:14 left. Huh. Okay. Deontay Johnson. So this is injury to insult. Deontay Johnson, who was the biggest target of the game for Big Ben, 9 catches for 105 yards, but he was hurt on the last meaningless play of the game.
Yeah.
So we have to monitor that. Big Ben ends up 27 of 40 for 295, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked twice. Najee, 10 carries, 38 yards, including a little 5 for 43 with a touchdown. Nice touchdown catch and run for Najee in that game. But the biggest thing that happened in that Steelers-Raiders game, and this is another thing where if you were on the Steelers yesterday, the biggest single unit-to-unit advantage in the NFL heading into week number two was probably the Steelers' defensive line against the Raiders' offensive line, and specifically T.J. Watt. And so T.J. Watt goes out. He has four tackles and a sack through a little more than a quarter of play, and then he goes out with a groin injury. And they already had groin injuries on that defense. So that was a brutal in-game injury for the Steelers, and without that, who knows? You just don't know.
The whole game changed.
The whole game changed. Yeah, 100%. And I'm always amused by football fans who don't acknowledge that kind of thing. I was on the Raiders. I was right. Do you know you were right? You don't.
You don't.
So here, Pittsburgh's hosting Cincinnati?
Yes.
This will be more than a field goal. I'll say -4.
Well, number's mostly 4.5. My numbers come a lot higher, but I didn't adjust for all the injuries on the Steelers because they got a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay Johnson, and these guys are all listed as questionable. T.J. Watt, questionable.
Huge.
Like I said, we mentioned this last week. Some guys say he's the best player in the league, period. Not sure I'm ready to go there, but he's in the conversation. Joe Hayden, a key corner. Carlos Davis, a defensive tackle, and Devin Bush, another linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, so they are decimated right now with injuries. But all that being said, the Bengals still stink. They're terrible. They're terribly coached. You know, Burrow, I've said a million times, I want all these young quarterbacks particularly to be successful. Helps the league. You know, Joe Burrow, I think he's got a ton of talent, but, you know, we talked about the luck of the draw. He winds up with the Bengals, you know, who have ruined who knows how many players for the last 40 years. I think this number is way too cheap, even with all the injuries. Like I said, my unadjusted power ratings come to make the Steelers 8. I'm going to open at 5. I don't know all the injury situation for the Steelers. I have a feeling it's going to be bad. But 3 points worth, I'm not so sure. If T.J. Watt comes back, I think that'll cure a lot of their ills. But I'm going to open 5. It is 4.5 like a blanket. I see no other number whatsoever, but I'm going to open 5.
Are Watt, Hayden, and this just occurred to me, so I'm just riffing on this, but are Watt, Hayden, and Bush all groin injuries? Can we effort that? Because I know Watt is and Hayden is. But I think there's multiple groin injuries on the defense. It might not be Bush. But there's, I don't know, just for what it's worth. Just a rash of groin injuries is all I'm getting at with that.
Hang on.
The wrong one. Your buddy Todd Wishnev.
Yeah.
Who's a Steelers fan also. Yeah. He just says very simply, he goes, the Steelers just aren't good. Do you agree with that?
No. And Bush is a groin.
They're all groins.
Yeah.
What is this rash of groin injuries on the Steelers defense?
To quote Keith Olbermann,
yes.
He pulled a groin, hopefully his own.
You don't think they're a bad
football
team? Well,
I don't think they're bad.
If they're healthy.
I said this last week. You know, football games tend to turn on a big play. Who makes big plays? Great athletes. They have a few great athletes. But legitimately, you know, I don't know if I put, you know, Hayden in the great athlete category. But T.J. Watt, Devin Bush, certainly great athletes. And Johnson on offense, you know, maybe. You know, but if you're missing your great athletes, who's going to make a play to turn the game around? I'm not so sure. So I'm not sure they stink, but they're missing a lot of ammunition on that team right now.
A wild card contender, you think?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. In those seven, rather, 2-0 teams in the NFL, five of them in the Western divisions. Only the Panthers and the Buccaneers exceptions to that. More Week 3 lines, guessing them right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Come in. Guessing lines is so dense when it's 16 games, that I feel like I'm talking on 2X when you're listening to the podcast. So if you slowed me down to like half X, then that would be your normal show, I think. It's a little advice for the podcast side of things. By the way, guessing lines last week, I mentioned that Chrissy, which people can hear live, unlike the Megapod, guessing lines they can hear live, and then we made the mistake of putting it on like a separate feed for a couple, you know, few thousand downloads, still a massive hit on the Beating the Book podcast feed. So thank you to everybody to making the Megapod and Guessing Lines such big hits. We have a joy doing them. We have a blast doing them, I should say. Jeffrey Parlay, we have a Tua Tagovailoa update.
Well, yes, we do. And the next game we're going to be talking about is the Dolphins at the Raiders.
Oh.
So a very aptly timed update from Tom Pelissero of NFL Networks. Tua Tagovailoa underwent further tests this morning on his bruised ribs. And the understanding is that it did not reveal any major issues. X-rays were negative, so this is going to be up to the pain tolerance and how he can function this week in Vegas.
Hmm. So no serious damage, just a painful thing, and up to the tolerance then. Must have been too painful to play after the first few minutes of that game yesterday. What was the game?
Miami at Vegas.
Miami at Vegas. Only two undefeated teams in the AFC. Did you have it as the Raiders and the Broncos?
I did not.
Miami, Tua hurt, as we mentioned, just over 4 minutes into that game yesterday. Just over 4 minutes in, bruised ribs. And there's the update from Jeff. He was 1 of 4 for 13 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, was sacked twice, including that one that induced the injury before he left the game. 3 first-half turnovers really did in the Dolphins yesterday. There was a Jacoby Brissett pick, a Jakeem Grant fumble. Oh, and then a Waddle muff, which actually didn't come back to hurt them towards the end of the first half, where you're like, really, is Buffalo going to get another field goal out of that? But it didn't. Jacoby Brissett, without practicing with the first team, he was 24 of 40 for 169, 0 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 4 times. And a lot of people are just going to say, oh, Jacoby Brissett is bad at football. He's not really that bad at football. It'll be very interesting if he plays this week to see what he can do, but we'll see. Maybe Tua can play. 13 total first downs in this game for the Dolphins. That is all. 217 total yards. That is all. Were it not for the Saints, that would be brutal. The brutal mark of the week. But the Jaguars and the Saints said, hold my beer. 9 penalties for 83 yards in penalties the Dolphins had. The one bright spot, Xavien Howard, 7 picks in his last 10 games. Good Lord. Then there's the Raiders. The Raiders, as we mentioned, beating the Steelers. 26-17, by the way, the Dolphins lost 35-0, as we mentioned, to Buffalo. Raiders beat the Steelers 26-17 as 6-point dogs. They had a first and goal at the 2, the last sequence of the first half. They had to settle for a field goal, and you wondered, would that come back and haunt them? It did not. Derek Carr got hurt in the third quarter. It looked like it was serious, and remember, Marcus Mariota was on IR. So that could have been brutal for the Raiders, but they're the one team that didn't lose their quarterback for even a snap. He was right back in. Carr ends up 28 of 37 for 382. Most yards passing in the NFL through 2 weeks. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Ruggs, 5 for 113 and a touchdown. Waller, 5 for 65. Renfro, 5 for 57. Drake, 5 for 46. So Carr, not only in 382 yards passing, but he was spreading the ball around the field very nicely as well. So this is at Vegas here at Allegiant, and I'll say the Raiders by 4.5.
That's a pretty solid number. I see anywhere from 4. I see 1 5.5 with some juice on the dog. I see 5.5. I see a couple 5.5. I'm going to probably open 5. My power rating comes only to 4. Kind of don't want to dicker with that number too much. You know, it's 4.5, 5, 4. I think the public will be all over the Raiders. Kind of wait to see what happens with Tua. I think 5 is maybe a little safer number for me to open. So that is what I'm going to open. But I think that's a shade high. Again, the Raiders look fantastic. And Derek Carr probably playing the best football of his career
right now. For sure.
Has he? I mean, because he's been around like, what, 7, 8 years, something like that? And
yeah.
Did it take him this long to really figure out? Maybe. There's other quarterbacks that have done that. He's really playing great. He's got a good team around him. And, of course, everybody saw Miami just get obliterated yesterday. So people tend to remember what they saw last. But, like I said, my power ratings are 4, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to open 5 on this game.
I'll ask you about this game what I asked you of other games. What do you do with Tua versus Jacoby Brissett?
Well, I think it's got to mean certainly some. You know, off the top of my head, probably about 2 points, maybe even 3. But it seems like Miami's a little sour on Tua. They talked about making a move in the offseason. Seems like they're just not enamored with this kid right now. I don't know if it's, you know, a media interpretation. Might be. And Jacoby Brissett, I think, is a very competent backup quarterback. I don't think he's ever going to be good enough to be a starter. I think he's a very valuable teammate. And I still think Tua has a lot more talent. And but I don't know. There's some questions about Tua. Like, it seems like it's coming from the Miami organization themselves.
The year after Andrew Luck, the beloved Andrew Luck, got hurt, Jacoby Brissett had the Colts leading in like 12 of those games into the fourth quarter. Didn't work out very often, but still. I assume, an afternoon game. That was the first of the afternoon games, Jeff. Is that a 4:05 game?
4:05 Eastern time game.
All right. Do we have another 4:05 like we did yesterday?
We do, and it's another AFC East team going west. The undefeated Denver Broncos will host the winless New York Jets.
Oh, man. Denver could be staring at 3-0. Denver gets it done yesterday. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars as 6.5-point favorites. They end up covering 23-13. And as we said earlier, probably cosmetic because, again, Jacksonville had that long kickoff return for a touchdown. So it was really a bigger win than that in reality. But Denver in the end, what's this game? Denver? Who is it?
Jets at Denver.
Jets at Denver. Pardon me. Okay. Jets at Denver. Let's start with the Jets. 0-2. Zach Wilson, we talked about this earlier against the Patriots yesterday. His first half, he was 3 of 7 for 45 yards, no touchdowns, 3 picks, and no sacks. For the game, 19 of 33 for 210, no touchdowns, 4 picks, and 3 sacks. And they were -4 in turnovers. That's it. It was the Zach Wilson interception fest. That was really all you needed to know about that game. And as we mentioned earlier, New England really didn't do that much on offense. But you go +4 in turnovers, you're going to win football games. Denver in that win against the Jaguars, Teddy Bridgewater, 26 of 34 for 328, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Cortland Sutton was his big target, 9 for 159. Denver did have 10 penalties for 101 yards. They got to clean that up. They were +2 in turnovers in their game against the Jaguars. And as we mentioned when talking about the Jaguars, they won the time of possession battle, 38-52 to 21-08. So Denver has beaten the Giants and the Jaguars, and then they get the Jets. And when we talked about adjusted season win totals at shops like DraftKings last week, shifting Denver all the way up to 10.5, how ridiculous that was. There were some, you know, comments like, hey, because of this soft schedule earlier, it might even get to 11. Maybe you're right. Denver minus 7.5. I keep saying 7.5s.
I almost like your number better. I'm looking, yeah, matter of fact, put me down. I like your number better.
There you go.
My power ratings with adjustments, and I almost try to not over-adjust, comes to Denver 9. The number out there is 11, and even 11.5, you know, that is a huge overreaction.
Whoa.
Put me down for liking the Jets. This is, I think, a huge overreaction on Denver. Like I said, they beat the Giants. They beat the Jaguars. And the Jets, I mean, the Jets did look terrible. There's no doubt. They're going into a hostile environment with a rookie quarterback and a rookie coach. But 11, I even see 11.5. I mean, I think that's crazy. You know, 9, I mean, it was a stretch for me to get to 9 on this game.
11, it's like what I said about the Falcons, though, this last week. It's like, I know that's too many points against Tampa Bay, like 13, yeah. But I can't bring myself to bet, you know, on Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it proved to be, you know, prescient not to. But, like, here, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, that's way too many points. But Zach Wilson in the elevation against
Vaughn. Yeah, but here's one thing. The total's 41. I mean, that's a low total.
That's true.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's the lowest total on the board by quite a bit. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that number's too high.
So
that number's too high.
So that's like if you do the whole conflation thing, it's like a 26 to 15 kind of game between spread and total. Yeah. I feel about the Jets.
I'm going to open 10.5.
It's too many points, but no, I'm not exactly sprinting to the window.
No, I doubt that'd be a horrible way to die, getting trampled to death by Jets bettors.
He died sprinting to the window, betting on the New York Jetropolitans. Coming back, more afternoon games in the primetime right here on Guessing Lines at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, a numbers game. Skill Alexander, Chris Andrews is here as well. Jeffrey Parlay, producer number 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland of producers. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Mile High Mike. Gilly, injuries were part of the Steelers' loss for sure, but if you watch that game, Coach Tomlin was a huge factor. Terrible decisions. I cited one of them, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. There's a big part of me that loves Tomlin and another part that just has me shaking my head occasionally, and that yesterday was one of those days.
Cody, Denver's win total on at DraftKings, now under 10.5, plus 105. Trip Tepper, look at the scheduling edge the Broncos have now. 15 games remaining and 9 of them at home. Broncos still have a big home field advantage in Denver with the highest altitude venue. I'll go elevation, by the way. But that's a whole other debate. You didn't come here for that. Jeffrey, we have an update on a couple things. One, what was the first one? Not the Culley thing.
No, well, they're both from David Culley.
Oh, okay. What was the first?
Deshaun Watson will not play on Thursday.
Ah, there
so
it is.
So that we know. Jeff Driscoll will be the backup to Davis Mills, it looks like, off of what Culley said this morning. Driscoll currently on the practice squad. Likely to be elevated before that game on Thursday.
Darnold, Mills, Thursday night football.
Exactly like we all expected. And also, David Culley admits he made the wrong call on the declining the third down penalty and then promptly punting. So, bravo to David Culley.
What did he say after that?
If I had to do it again, I would have taken the penalty.
That's not the point.
Which is still, again,
that's not the point.
Not the point.
And run the ball and then punt it.
Once again, it's like he missed it. Again, the 3rd and 15, they get 14 yards to the 49-yard line. The Browns lined up offside. So his options are 4th and 1 or 3rd and 10. He declines the penalty and punts. That's the point. If you decline it, go for it then on 4th and 1. Why else would you be declining it? Now he's saying I would have taken it and been 3rd and 10.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, my God. All right, two more afternoon games. What do you got here?
We're into the national window, so 4:25 Eastern, and this is a great one at SoFi. Tampa at the L.A. Rams.
Ooh. Game of the year thus far. Both teams 2-0. Tampa has won 9 straight games while scoring 30-plus points. That's an NFL record dating back to last year. The only two other teams to do that, Chris, the 2007 and 2010 Patriots, who had won 8 straight while scoring 30-plus points. Wow. Guess who their quarterback was?
Jacoby Brissett.
Incorrect. 2 pick sixes from Mike Edwards, by the way, in the fourth quarter against the Falcons yesterday. That was the ultimate Matty Ice, we will not cover sequence. Tom Brady, 24 of 36 for 276, 5 touchdown passes, 0 picks, 3 times sacked. Mike Evans, 5 for 75, 2 touchdowns. Chris Godwin, 4 for 62 and a touchdown. Gronk, 4 for 39 and 2 touchdowns. Anything negative on Tampa Bay? Sure. 9 penalties for 83 yards. But they were plus 2 in turnovers. And then the Rams, as we talked about, beating the Colts 27-24, but not covering.
No.
Sean McVay was 38-0 straight up when leading at the half. They were up 10-6. Now he's 39-0. 39-0 when leading at the half. Sean McVay straight up. Pretty good. Nick Scott, by the way, if he doesn't slide over far enough in punt formation with the Rams punting out of their end zone, then perhaps it's different. The snap hits him. Touchdown, Indy. But as we mentioned earlier, Indy had the 2 first and goals in the first half. Yeah. Well, they didn't capitalize, so it's kind of both teams missing opportunities. Matt Stafford, 19 of 30 for 278, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked once. Cooper Kupp becoming the man. 9 catches for 163 and 2 touchdowns after having a great yak game in week 1 against the Bears on Sunday night. So Tampa's at the Rams. There's going to be a Brady factor here to the spread. I'm going to split the difference between a pick 'em and a 3. I'll say Rams minus 1.5.
Nope, it's I see pick and each side won. My power ratings, just pure numbers, have the Rams a 0.5 point favorite.
So, okay,
tough to bang that number, but I'm an open pick and go from there.
Not a terrible guess, but okay.
No, like I said, who knows where this thing winds up? Like I said, I see both sides won, but there is a Brady factor that guys love betting on him, and why wouldn't you? We'll still have to see. And I think pick's a great place to start. Let's see where it takes us from there. But this should be one hell of a game.
Who's the MVP of the league through 2 weeks, minus the Detroit-Green Bay game tonight? Brady?
Who's playing better than Brady right now? I don't know. Who's playing better than him? I'd have to go look.
44 years old. Remember when George Blanda retired, I think, at 46? He looked like he was 68.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah.
That's just not me as a kid seeing it. Yeah. He genuinely looked like he was 68 years old.
Well, cigarettes and bourbon will kind of do that to you.
Gray hair, lamb chop sideburns. 44.
Yeah.
All right. What's next? Last afternoon game.
Seahawks at Vikings.
All right. Seahawks, we mentioned, lose to the Titans. Titans score the last 17 points of that ball game. Titans win it 33-30. So the Seahawks lose. It is the First of all, it's the only NFC West team with a loss this season. Everybody else in that division is 2-0. Seahawks are 1-1. It's the first home opener ever lost under Pete Carroll. He's now 11-1 as the Seahawks coach, home openers. So there's that. But Russell Wilson, 22 of 31 for 343. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times, 3 carries for 16 yards. Wilson this season, I just talked about Tom Brady being MVP. Russell Wilson through 2 weeks, 597 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah. If we were voting for MVP, they'd see him 1-1, though.
Yes,
what I'm saying?
They
that,
would.
That would be the.
And remember, how many weeks into the season last year where he was clearly the MVP?
Yeah, like probably 8.
Yeah, and then Pete Carroll said, hey, you're not going to be the MVP because we're going to run the football, buddy. I had a eavesdrop in that meeting. Chris Carson.
Probably a ticket on Russell Wilson.
13
would
30.
Be my hunch.
Chris Carson with 13 carries, 31 yards, 2 touchdowns. Lockett. How good is Lockett? 8 catches for 178 and a touchdown. Freddie Swain, 5 catches for 95 and a touchdown. 1 huge long touchdown pass to Lockett. 1 huge long one to Swain. They did have 10 penalties for 100 yards. And as I mentioned with the Titans, when we're going over the Titans game, Seattle was out time of possession 42-33 to 22-42. Much of that is meaningless because of those 2 long touchdown passes, but not entirely because Derrick Henry did get the best of them. And then there's Minnesota. Minnesota's 0-2. 2 plays go different. They're 2-0. This is the National Football League. The Vikings are the poster child for what we're talking about here, how tough this is. They get the Dalvin Cook fumble last week in overtime against Cincinnati where they were knocking at the door of victory. And then yesterday, Greg Joseph misses a 37-yarder with no time left. And he had been kicking phenomenally well. Sent the game last week in overtime with a 52-yarder, even after getting iced on the first one that went through. He had 50-plus earlier in this game. But this is Mike Zimmer and his staff elect to let the clock roll for 35 seconds to set up the 37-yarder. You want to run another play? By the way, Mike McCarthy coming up later says, hold my beer. We'll get to that. Cousins, 22 of 32 for 244. Three touchdowns, no picks, sacked once. Two carries, 35 yards. Dalvin Cook, 13 for 96 in the first half. Finished 22 for 131. And the Vikings were +2 in turnovers and still managed to lose to the Cardinals by a point. Again, that Matt Prater 62-yarder at the end of regulation, coupled with the 37-yard miss from Joseph at the end, the difference in that game. This is a pick'em. This one I have is a pick'em. Seattle and Minnesota.
My power ratings come to pick. I see it as high as Seattle 1.5. So I'm going to open 1. Like I said, my numbers come to pick. I would have been fine opening pick, but I see 1.5. I might as well let them lay me the 1 rather than laying the pick.
So, in favor of Seattle?
In favor of Seattle, yeah. Yeah. Gil, before we move on, can we have a couple of quick updates here?
Please.
They are posting the Raven number now. I see the Ravens anywhere, almost a blanket 9, although circa open 9.5. So 9 is a good number. I think I told you my power ratings come to 8.5. And the other one on the Raiders game, they've taken anything over 4.5. It's really 4. I even see a 3.5. It's really 4 now, which I said that's what my power ratings came to 4. So I'm going to amend my opener there. I am going to open the Raiders 4, and I am going to open the Raiders the Ravens 9.
And my Ravens guess at Detroit, again, sight unseen with Detroit tonight, my Ravens guess was 10, and my Raiders guess was 4.5 against Miami. You're saying it's 4.
It's 4. I'm going to open 4. And that's what my power ratings were. I kind of had a little fudging in there because it's the Raiders.
I'm just trying to think. So now, before we get to the primetime games, which we'll get to after the break, the games I like the best were the Chargers getting all those points against the Chiefs. 6, you said? That's too many.
6.5.
6.5. Come on. Give me the Chargers. And then the other one was the one earlier on the show where I thought that spread wasn't high enough. Arizona at, who's Arizona at again?
Jags.
Jags. Yeah, I didn't think that was high enough. What are you posting on that?
7.5.
Yeah, I had 10.5. I was way over.
Yeah, there's
that.
A lot of sevens out there. So.
How is that low? Oh. Okay, those are the two so far. We got primetime games to get to, including Mike McCarthy making Mike Zimmer's gaffe look like just a tea party. Coming back, Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football betting season your best ever with the VSiN experts. Get daily email updates, 24/7 video streaming, plus exclusive data on VSiN.com. We deliver everything you need to succeed, whether you're playing contests, futures, or betting against the spread. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe and get our all-access package for less than $22 a month.
Betting on baseball this summer? Step up your game with complete data and analysis on VSiN.com. Our experts track all the games on the schedule, and we have in-depth data on every matchup, including team trends, latest line moves, pitcher stats, and umpire impacts. Whether you're looking to bet the run line, team totals, or first five inning winners, VSiN.com/MLB is the only source you need. Increase your sports betting IQ and make the most of all your baseball bets this summer at VSiN.com/MLB.
So in those days, excuse me, everything centered around your little hometown, but you had your little confectionery place where you used to go, like, you know, the movie, The Sting, when they walked in the back and whatever. Every town had one of those. There's a place called The Comet News in Braddock, Pennsylvania, just 10 miles from where I grew up. And Joe Nogueira, the Greek there, had this, like I said, you could buy the Post-Gazette out front and bet two-team parlay in the back. So I always stop by there when I go back. The building is still there. And I walked in last summer, and there was a young lady there selling magazines and whatever. And I looked towards the back, and there was a door. And I said, can I? And before I got to the restaurant, she says, it's been closed for 35 years, but I'm going to let you go in and see it. She gave me the key, opened it up, and there I was. Holy smoke. This is 60 years earlier, 50 years earlier. There was a little trellis where the guy used to walk up and put the chalkboard there. There were seats there. There were a guy playing shorts card there. There was all that stuff. And I just felt like that was my high, and I just continued it.
If you didn't catch Beeson last week, here's some of what you missed.
Because it was, what, 22-10. What, Chiefs actually had the ball late second quarter. We're getting at halftime, if I recall correctly. So they could have, like, as Michael Lombardi calls it, could have dominated. Not really. But they could have scored twice back-to-back possessions in that middle eight. And then they had that long drive, by the way. That's the Browns did a great job containing that Chiefs offense for most of that game until they just, once they start to snap, man, and break, get out of the way because the dam's going to snap right there, too. So, but that the Browns defense was really good. There was like an eight-minute drive, I think, for the Chiefs to begin the second half. But if they play again in the playoffs, this Chiefs defense, they are vulnerable, man. And that's why with that offensive line with Cleveland, with their backs, they can go Chubb, they can go Hunt. And the way that Stefanski has already figured this out, going back to last year, to use both those guys, and it can be Chubb for a lot of it, and then they just sprinkle in a little bit of Hunt here. And it's a great combination. And then, like you said, Mayfield looked really good yesterday. They can beat them. They can go into Arrowhead in January and have the lead again late in the fourth quarter like they did yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And if you encounter bad weather, you think the Chiefs would get some bad weather if they have home field. And that would, that's a better situation for the Browns with their great running game. Yep. But these kickers and punters, I mean, you have one job. Come on. Perfect snap. Yep. He drops it, butterfingers.
Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews is here. Jeff Parlay. We thought David Culley would win the comedic press conference award of the morning, but apparently not. What do you got?
Okay, we go to Chicago, who, of course, Andy Dalton suffered what we thought may have been an ACL tear. According to Matt Nagy, it is not an ACL tear. They're still running more tests, but it seems that the ACL is not torn. But this exchange happened while this discussion was going on. A reporter in Chicago asked Matt Nagy, is Andy still your starter if he's healthy? Matt Nagy comes back with, that's something I'm not going to get into with scheme. Reporter says, that's not scheme. Matt Nagy comes back with, yes, it is.
What are you supposed to say to that? Yes, it is. Okay, if you say so, coach. It's just ridiculous. Okay, you wanted to mention, because we haven't mentioned this, that you and Jeff Fogel sends it to me every week, just in case. Yeah. I mean, it's really good. You do this piece every week.
We do four pieces, actually. So we analyze, the betting, trends, betting trends, not, that other crap.
Right.
On the Thursday night game, then we put one out for Saturday's college football, the major games, and we do one for Sunday, every single NFL game. Then we have another one out for the Monday night game, too. So four that you'll find on VSiN. And
you do it for college football as well.
We do it for college football. So, like I said, the major games we pick.
So it's really just about which way the action is going.
We analyze the action. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not giving you home teams or
what I find interesting about it, because when you say it just like that, it makes it sound like it's a dull article. It's not. It's fascinating the way that you say, oh, you were surprised to see this. Mm-hmm. Typically you'll get this. It's a fascinating window into bettors' actions.
What kind of prompted it, I got tired of guys asking me, well, who are the wise guys on? Well, what number?
Right.
What number? They're laying three, taking four. And I always made the joke, there's no wise guy union. I mean, there's some guys out there with a lot of money that like the favorite, and another outfit with a lot of money that like the dog. So what number are we talking about?
This is what Jimmy Hoffa fought for all these years.
And Bobby Kennedy was doing push-up. Yeah. Anyway.
And where is this available?
It's available at VSiN. So
VSiN.com.
At the Point Spread Weekly.
Oh, Point Spread Weekly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's on VSiN.com, too.
We need a ruling. Point Spread Weekly or VSiN.com?
VSiN.com.
VSiN.com. Thank you, Jeff Farley.
All right.
But anyway, I think it's really valuable for players out there to understand, how the bettors are thinking and how we got to whatever number we're at.
Okay. Stay tuned for later guessing lines when Chrissy updates on his latest book. Updates us on his latest book. That's later.
Okay.
Sunday night.
Packers at 49ers.
Packers sight unseen. Packers, again, double-digit favorites tonight against the Lions. Packers, do me a favor, win this game for survivor purposes. Thank you very much. Packers are at the Niners. Was that what you said? So Packers, we don't know because we haven't seen them play yet. They play tonight. San Francisco yesterday beat the Eagles. Another one of these sort of injury report games where it goes against you know, the injury report information. Niners were banged up. Garoppolo, Jimmy G, 22 of 30 for 187. One touchdown, no picks, wasn't sacked. 11 carries for 20 yards and a touchdown. The fleet of foot Jimmy G with a touchdown on the ground. Debo Samuel, 6 catches, 93 yards. Up 7-3, the Niners had a 16-play, 92-yard drive that featured 8 first downs, capped by a Jimmy G 1-yard touchdown in that win over the Eagles. They beat the Eagles 17-11, covering the 2.5-point number. Again, the theme, the biggest betting theme of the week for me, again, if you missed it at the top of the show, is the fact that the injury reports, which we go through game by game on Primetime Action on MSG Plus with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin Friday night, all that injury intel, when it came down, oh my God, the Ravens are decimated. Oh my God, the Vikings are have bad, you know, Raiders. There were so many teams. They all went the other way. Oh, went the other way.
And again, I'll repeat, that's an aberration.
It's got to be an aberration. It's a total aberration. 90% of the time, that's the intel you need, or the thoroughness you need. I'll say San Francisco minus 4.5 against sight unseen with Green Bay.
Wow. It's 4. I see 1, 3.5. I personally think that's a huge overreaction. My numbers come to 2.5.
Oh.
On the 4. Let's not go crazy downgrading Green Bay after one game. You know, I know they looked horrible, but it's one game. I think somebody mentioned Tampa Bay last year lost to New Orleans like 38-3 or something like that. And we thought, well, there goes Tommy's Super Bowl hopes. Yeah. You know, no, I think this is an overreaction. I think that's way too high of a number. I see 1, 3.5 out there, and that's what I'm going to open is 3.5. But there's plenty of fours, so the number's probably closer to yours. But like I said, my numbers come to 2.5. And you talk about a non-home field advantage.
Yeah.
Hello, San Francisco.
Levi, is it still called Levi Stadium? Is that what's still called?
I think it is.
It is. It is a beautiful stadium.
Yeah.
But it is also an antiseptic stadium.
Yeah, I don't see any home field advantage here. I mean, I still give them 2 points. Yeah. I don't even know why I'm giving them that. But I think this is too high.
Then that's a Sunday night game. The traffic on the 101 going to that game.
The Bay Area?
Oh, my God. On a Sunday night? Oh, no, it's not a work day, though. But it is Sunday night. If it was Monday night, it'd be a thing. But still, who wants that traffic? All right, Monday night, what do you got?
Well, you get your fun. Eagles at Cowboys.
Oh, NFC East. 2 1-1 teams. By the way, the entire NFC East 1-1, except for the Giants, who are 0-2. By the way, I disagree with you with scheme. Just want to point that out. It's not scheme. Yes, it is. Philadelphia cut it from 8-6 with a 2-point conversion with just over 2 minutes left. Oh, with just over 4 minutes left in this game. Oh, I've made this note. Keep in mind, the Eagles were down 14 points in this game. They scored to make it 17-9, and instead of kicking the extra point, they did the analytics thing and went for 2 and made it 17-11. Didn't end up resulting in victory, but I just wanted to point out that they did that, which again makes people's heads explode. But it is the correct mathematical thing to do. Hurts, only 12 completions, 12 of 23 for 190. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. 10 carries for 82 yards and a touchdown. Quez Watkins, 2 catches for 117. So 91, by the way, 91-yard touchdown pass to Watkins. Oh, no, he didn't score the touchdown. He fell short. But 91 of Hurts' 190 throwing yards were on that one pass. And then there's Dallas. We talked about them beating the Chargers in a game where they did not, where they were outplayed, quite frankly. Dak was 23 of 27, only 4 incompletions for 237 yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. Pollard, 13 for 109 and a touchdown. Zeke, 16 for 71 and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb, 8 of 81 through the air. This, though, game ended on a 56-yard game winner with no time left on the clock by Greg Zuerlein. Greg the Leg completely bailing out Mike McCarthy, who let the clock bleed from 28 seconds down to 4 seconds because you just got to kick a 56-yarder when you get a chance.
Yeah, and he said, well, we were in field goal position. Really?
Dak Prescott was 5 of 5 for 35 yards on that game-winning drive. But here's McCarthy on the bleeding of the clock down to 4 seconds. Quote, I've never had a clock go off the board on me like that. The second down, we were trying to chip away and just get a shorter field goal, so we were going to attempt a third down play, then kick it on fourth, he insisted. The clock he was watching powered off because, as John Goulet pointed out off air, there's only one clock in that whole stadium. McCarthy. He said that offensive coordinator Kellen Moore couldn't see a clock because it was blocked by a camera guy. Ahead to an unanticipated personnel change, Pollard, it seems, trotted toward the sideline after the play before being redirected back on, and the Cowboys simply didn't capitalize on the one or two plays the clock seemed to allow for. McCarthy said it was a, quote, substitution communication. We were communicating with the box. We didn't have the personnel set for the third down call. Once you get below 17 seconds, it's a threshold, and you just let it run out and take the kick. 17 seconds is the threshold. What? This is the dumbest league I've ever fought. What are they doing? Anyway, I didn't guess anything. Dallas minus 3.5.
Oh, you're right on. It's 3.5. My power ratings come a little higher, but boy, we talk about you don't need an IQ test to, you don't have to pass an IQ test. Mike McCarthy, Exhibit A, right there.
God, I mean, bless.
I don't know. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers saved him about 10 years out of that, whatever his career was up in Green Bay. I think I'm going to open 3.5. I just don't want to fool with it. But my power ratings do come higher. But, boy, I just tell you. I mean, but the Eagles, they don't look that good. But I do like Sirianni. I think the guy, there's a smart kid right there. And I think he's going to get the most out of Jalen Hurts eventually. Didn't happen yesterday.
All right, so first reaction. I like the Chargers and the Cardinals best next week. You, if you were betting?
If I was out there betting, I like the Texans. I like the Cardinals. I like the Chargers. I like the New York Football Jets.
Yeah, I just can't. I like them too by that number.
That number's too big.
Can't do it. Too big. Thank you, Chrissy. I appreciate it as always.
Oh, my pleasure.
Guessing lines. We'll put it in podcast form if you missed any part of this. The Beating the Book feed. Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi next, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.